Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Yvonne Pierre Show. Hear from people who have overcome obstacles, have inspirational stories to tell, or helpful information to share.
She was our child, and we were to take her home. Remarkable advice for that era when many children with Down syndrome were put in institutions.
I was living for today, not caring about tomorrow.
The Yvonne Pierre Show,
living off with
a variety
today,
talk show,
and giving
only
all
mission.
Power to the
how are you?
That were only gonna bring me to my knees. And I turned around and I remember this 48 years later of when I turned around and I said to her, no, I can do it. That kind of set the tone to her right from the beginning that even though I was in a chair, you know, I was still independent. I was still going to do things.
I believe that everything happens for a reason. We are vessels that have the option to allow God to use us.
Make a choice to break the generational curses on our life.
Thank you for tuning in. Now, here is your host, Yvonne Pierre.
Welcome, and thank you for tuning in to part 5 of the Enough series. Enough, which is spelled E-N-U-F, is an acronym for Ending Negativity to Unify Families. It's an online anti-bullying campaign that encourages families to promote positivity in their homes. This campaign is about starting the conversation about bullying children with special needs or bullying in general. And also our mission is to provide resources and information, so please pass this information on. For more information about the campaign, please take a moment to check out our website, and that's at enuf.esilentvoices.com, and also like us on Facebook, and us, I mean me and Kanaya Tatum, and we have a team of an amazing team of other parents that are also helping us with this campaign. Go to our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/esilentvoice. Okay, so if you've missed part 1 through part 4 of the Enough series, I encourage you to visit blogtalkradio.com/YPierre, and that's YPIERRE, to listen to the archive, listen to them on demand. Today's episode is part 5 of the Enough series, and we'll be discussing how to deal with bullies at work, home, or school with our special guest, the Possibility Coaches, which I love the title, John Satin and Chris Pate, are the positive change experts in life, relationships, and business. They are life and relationship coaches, business consultants, emotional healers, seminar facilitators, published authors, and entrepreneurs. Since founding Possibility Coaches in 2002, they have been actively exploring the human experience and conditioning and empowering individuals and business owners worldwide to live a life of meaning, passion, and purpose. I love that. John and Chris are the authors of the Personal Growth Encyclopedia, Living an Inspired, Empowered, and Joy-Filled Life, 365 Daily Tips to Get You There. Welcome, Chris and John.
Hello, Yvonne.
Hi, Yvonne. Glad to be here today.
Great to be here.
Great to have you here, and I'm really, really looking forward to this information that you'll be sharing today. Although bullying has been going on for a very, very long time, we've seen it in many different forms. There's racism, hate crimes, different aspects of it. But we're starting to see it more and more. I am starting to see it more and more as far as the media goes. So John or Chris, why do you think bullying is now coming to surface?
I believe there's a time in our history, Yvonne. This is the time, and I believe the new millennium is a time of transition, and I believe that we as a society, and even as a world collectively, we're no longer tolerating violent acts perpetrated on one human being by another. We're no longer tolerating a lack of ethics and integrity. And I really feel it's those two words, ethics and integrity, that are really essential for us to grasp as a consciousness, as human beings. And we're no longer tolerating ethics and integrity. And bullying is a prime example of an act that lacks ethics and lacks integrity. It's the harming of one human being by another. And so we're no longer tolerating it. And this is a good thing. This is essential for our survival as a species.
Yeah. And now, Chris, you have a personal story in reference to bullying. Could you share that with us?
Mm-hmm. Well, first, what I would like to say, too, Yvonne, is that the reason why I feel that bullying is coming more and more to the surface now, too, is that the gap that used to be so wide between all of our differences is starting to close. And the reason why that gap is closing is, as John had said, we're going through this shift in this new millennium where, you know, we're not looking at people that used to be so different as being so different anymore. So if a child was quiet or shy or had learning disabilities or was too tall or too short, you know, now we're starting to celebrate more of their uniquenesses and the differences rather than to, you know, separate them and isolate people. So that's why I feel the bullying is coming to the surface now. We're starting to embrace each other a little bit more.
Yeah.
And that does lead into my story because, you know, when I was a child, I was being bullied at home. I was being picked on and put down by my father. And because of that, that, as a, you know, for me as a child, that stripped away all of my self-esteem, my self-worth, and my self-image. So it just knocked me right down to the ground so that it was no mystery that, you know, why I got bullied when I went to school. And for me, it was really horrific in seventh grade. And, you know, I every day walking to school because I did walk to school, I prayed for my life. I prayed God. I said, God, please help me live through this day. Please help me make it through one more day. Because the bullying was so horrific. And, you know, here I am at the age of 54, and obviously I did make it through. But for me, it was that I did not have any, you know, I did not have any self-esteem at home.
Uh-huh.
And somehow the bullies just, they targeted that. They sensed that I was coming into school feeling so bad about myself that I was just such an open target. And that's why, and John and I will be speaking, you know, with you throughout this program about the importance of building not only your own self-esteem, but building your child's self-esteem. Because, you know, if I would have had self-esteem and or had a stronger self-esteem when I was a child, I know I would not have been a target. It's just that somehow it's almost like they talk about the law of attraction. Somehow those bullies just sense that I was a doormat waiting to be stepped on.
Yeah, and that's one of the things, like, as far as this campaign, and the more research I was doing is in reference to the campaign, the more and more it just made sense that it does start at home. And to really, you know, an empowered adult or unempowered adult wouldn't know how to empower their children, mm-hmm. which kind of leads into my next question. You know, we see bullying a lot. Dealing with children. But what are some examples of bullying in adult relationships?
That's a great question, Yvonne. And we see it so often in our clients, you know, come to us, couples especially, or if one of the partners comes to see us about their relationship that they're being challenged. We see it all the time. And the interesting thing about bullying in adult relationships is that it's insidious. In other words, you can easily overlook it because it seems like it's just a natural progression and a series of interactions between two adult people, but it's really not. Really, if you look at a lot of adult relationships and most adult relationships, they're about control and manipulation. In other words, as long as you comply with my needs and what I need and fulfill me, then there's peace between us. And if you don't, I have to do something like control you or manipulate you in a way so I can feel good about myself or I can feel safe about this relationship and I know that I'm okay. So it's really, it's like all bullying, it's based in fear. and it's a lack of self-esteem, that I need you in some shape or form to fill me and complete me. That is bullying.
Wow.
That
yeah.
is bullying.
Yeah. And I think, you know, for a lot of people, they may not see it as bullying. They may not see it as even being controlling. So I'm really glad that you brought that to the surface, because we don't look at it like that when we're in a relationship, or this person kind of use manipulating tactics, I guess, to kind of persuade you to make them happy, instead of us looking at relationships as a whole, and we're two people, and, you know, and it working together in sync versus one controlling the other. So I'm really, really glad you brought that to that we touched on that, John.
Yeah, I know I said this, and I just want to reemphasize this for you, is that it is about control and manipulation. Because it's the bullying is about feeling good. I make you feel bad so I can feel good. And more essential, I feel it's about so I can feel safe. So I can feel safe.
Yeah.
And it's really, and we're going to talk more about this, it's really, for the bully, it's an absence of love, of feeling loved.
Yeah.
And what I would like to add, too, is an example of one of our clients, husband and wife, and the husband was not allowing the wife to go to work. He wanted her to be at home. They didn't even have any children, but he wanted her to be at home, and every time she needed money for anything, you know, grocery shopping, to buy a gift for a family member, to get her hair done, her nails done, you know, any type of money, she had to crawl to him. And, you know, as you said, Yvonne, you may not look at that as a form of bullying, but it really is, because if you look at bullying, as John said, you know, being in control by this particular husband, controlling the money, making the money, and divvying it out and giving it out at his will, was a form of control and power on his part. So in essence, in a way, and that's a subtle way, he was bullying his wife. And after coaching with us, she became very empowered. She finally went out and got her own job, and she created that boundary with him. She became self-empowered.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, too, I want to move on in a minute to working as far as work goes. But I think for a long time, you know, growing up, it was the ideal family for the father to work, for the mom to be at home, or whether they had kids or not. Mm-hmm. And I think that we push so much in our boys to be the person in power. We have to learn how, as parents, to have that type of balance, to teach them that it's, although you are the provider or whatever, it's not about controlling your wife.
Good point.
Great point.
Chris, in addition to personal relationships, what about work relationships? Could you give us some examples of bullying on the job?
Well, it's very similar, because it's interesting, because bullying is bullying, whether it's at home, work, school, and the relationship. And at work, it's the same thing, too. It's a boss who really doesn't feel good about themselves. And most likely, even though they may come across with this big ego and this big bravado, that's just a show where they really don't feel good about themselves. And it's a boss, in that case, is looking to seek some type of power. And usually in the workplace, bullying comes in the form of mostly picking on an employee, putting down an employee, making some side jokes about an employee, making an employee feel that they're not good enough. And those would be some of the examples. And in a little while, I'll also like to share, you know, a personal example of a client of ours and how she was able to turn the bullying around in her workplace.
So when we, so the thing too, I think a lot of issues people probably have is when it deals with bullying, whether it's at school or at work, is to be labeled a snitch or seen as weak, so to speak, if they tell anyone about it. Or if they call the person out, well, not really call the person out, but if, like, if it's a coworker or if it's happening at school, a lot of kids will try to deal with it within themselves because they don't want, you know, oh, they went and told their mom, or they went and told, you know, which may cause other issues. So when bullying happens either at work, home, at school, or in any form of a relationship, what can we do to stop it?
That's a great question. And the answer is, and this question really is, it's like where, you've heard the term where the rubber hits the road, Yvonne. You know, this this is the key question. And one of the things that Chris and I teach, and this is really key to ending the bullying cycle, is to peacefully confront the bully. And I say, and I emphasize the word peacefully, not attack, peacefully confront. And it's as simple as asking the question of the bully, and I do this all the time in relationship coaching, why do you do this? What motivates you, for example, husband, to want to control your wife?
Yeah.
What is it? And it's almost like taking a giant spotlight and shining it on this darkness, because the bullying is coming, is an act out of darkness. It's an act out of fear. So when you shine the light on it, and come from a peaceful place and say, tell me, you know, Joe, why do you abuse your wife? What is it that pushes you and creates a need for you to do this? And once you do that, you open a whole new door for the bully, and you, by creating awareness. And so snitching is not weak. In fact, it's about creating a powerful environment where we can deal with the bullying issue, clear out the fears, and like Chris said earlier, you know, build people up and create esteemed individuals in our society.
Yeah, it's all about self-empowerment, and you've touched on so many different topics. But Chris, did you want to chime in on that before we...
Sure, yeah, because I wanted to speak about my own experience, you know, growing up and being bullied as a child.
Okay.
I kept it, you know, to myself. I lived in my own personal hell, so to speak, because, you know, no one knew at home what was going on at school, and I never went to the teachers or the principal or anything. I kept it to myself because, for me, there was a lot of shame involved with being bullied. I was embarrassed. I was humiliated that I was being bullied. I felt like it was a weakness within me. So that's why I kept it to myself. However, knowing what I know now, I know that it would have been so important for me back then to speak to my parents or speak to a teacher about it, because it can be stopped and it can be ended. And I feel that the bullies, you know, especially in school, have to be stopped, because it can get so far that children are actually losing their lives because of it. So it's important to bring it out in the open.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And there's so many horrifying cases. It was just one recently, and I want to eventually move on so we can get to the other questions, but I just wanted to touch on one of the stories. I mean, I've been coming across so many stories dealing with bullying, with whether it's a child with special needs, or I know a lot of people have heard of the mom that got involved, or the grandmom that said it was her, but, you know, it resulted to the mom wind up stabbing a couple of the kids that were beating up her son. And it we really have to get this information out to prevent it, where it can be stopped, or so parents can see the signs before it gets to that stage where you feel like you have to jump in and defend your child, which I wouldn't advise that as far as stabbing another child, another parent's child, but it is getting out of hand.
Definitely, yeah.
And the first, I was just going to say one other thing, Yvonne, if I may.
Okay.
It's really about, and this is what Chris and I are all about in our practice, is creating awareness. And it's more so, it's about creating awareness about yourself.
Yeah.
So for each of us to take responsibility and say, is there anything about me in terms of my action, my activities, that represents bullying? Or is there any aspect of my life that invites bullying in? How do I feel about myself? So if we each, as adults, and we can't expect young children to do this because they don't have the logical capacity at their young age to do so, if we as adults lead by example and take full responsibility for how we treat others and how we treat ourselves, perhaps, or what we invite into our life, that's really key. And that's what Chris and I are promoting, you know, this education, especially for parents, and you as a parent know this, you know, the awareness of, from the parent's vantage point is critical in eliminating bullying.
Yeah, it is. Chris, you and John work with clients who've been bullied. Could you give us an example of how one of your clients, and you mentioned it earlier, how one of your clients were able to stop bullying at work?
Right. One of our clients, she was being bullied a lot at work, and it came in the form of her boss. They worked as a team. She worked in genetics in a lab. There might have been about 15, 20 of them in the group, and her boss always made her the target of his jokes. He always put her down, made fun of her, made little comments. So, and she always took it because she felt that she deserved to get bullied. She didn't feel good enough about herself. But after going through the coaching process with John and I, we assisted her to build up her self-esteem, and we taught her how to set boundaries. And what she did, she finally one day got the courage at work while she was being made fun of and picked on by her boss. She finally got up the courage and the self, you know, enough self-respect to set that boundary with her boss, and she just calmly, not, you know, in, you know, theatrics and crying and screaming, but she just very calmly and peacefully just said to her boss, "Hey, Joe, I'm not going to take this anymore. You have to find somebody else to pick on." And then she just turned on her heels and went to the ladies' room, came back in about 10 minutes, and it was a whole different world, because at that point, she did set a boundary, and she sent a message to her boss in such a way that she said, "Hey, I'm not going to take it anymore. You have to find somebody else to pick on," because by creating that boundary and standing up for herself, she said, "Hey, I'm no longer going to be a doormat. I'm no longer going to be receptive to this." And she showed him that she was not going to be a target. So now if she did it with yelling and screaming and fighting, I don't think it would have had the same effect. It was because she was able to come from a place of calmness and peace and just say to him very calmly, "Hey, Joe, I'm not going to take this anymore." And then the act of, like, leaving, she didn't pack her bags and leave for the day. She just, you know, calmly just turned on her heels and made that statement and went to the ladies' room. And then when she came back, he was like a different person.
Now, did she say that to him in private?
No, actually, she said it to him with everybody around.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It may, I don't know how that would have worked out. It may have been better if she said it in private. But she felt, for her own self-esteem, she had to say it. While he was picking on her in front of the group, she had to say it in front of the group to him. But again, she didn't, you know, bully him back. She just said it very calmly and very peacefully.
Yeah.
And that was the end of it, and he hasn't picked on her ever since.
And I think her saying it calmly and peacefully also prevented him feeling like he had to react as far as getting her losing her job or anything like that. And I think that's probably a fear that a lot of people have, like if they speak up to their boss, they may lose their job. But I like that approach to calmly approach them and let them know, you know, one, I see what's going on, and two, you know, it showed her confidence. It showed that she was in a different place. And that, you know, she wasn't going to tolerate it anymore. So I thank you for that example. What role can teachers, parents, and bosses play to prevent bullying?
I'm involved with this too, John. I'll start, and you could pick up. What I was going to say, that for anybody in a leadership role, whether it's a clergy, a teacher, a parent, a boss, it's so important that if somebody's coming to you and telling you that they're being bullied, it's important for you to take it seriously, because their life literally may be in danger. And John, you may want to talk a little bit about the leadership role.
Yeah. I'm so glad you asked this question, Yvonne, because it's so important. I mean, we have so much awareness about bullying. Teachers have awareness, parents, you know, school principals, you know, bosses are aware of it. However, the real key to ending bullying in all the environments we've talked about today is that the people who play the leadership roles must, and I can't emphasize this enough, must take responsibility for bullying in their own lives.
And build their own self-esteem so they don't have to bully.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's really essential that the people at the top, and I use the term at the top, whether it be the head of a company or a teacher, a school principal, a mother, a father, they must take full responsibility for their own self-esteem.
Yeah.
Because they are the leadership roles that are giving the cues to the impressionable children.
Yeah.
Who they are responsible for. And if a teacher is not taking responsibility for his or her own self-esteem, then he will allow bullying to continue in his classroom environment.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think too, teachers and parents and bosses and who, you know, anyone in a leadership role, they have to, and that's why your company is so significant and campaigns and different things. I really think a lot of adults don't know how to respond, or they don't know how to deal with their own self-esteem or whatever is going on to within the classroom, whether they don't know how to approach the child or they don't know how to do it in a way. Because I think even with teachers, a lot of teachers rely on the school system. Instead of them taking hold of their classroom, it's like they feel like their hands are tied between the teachers and between the parents and the administrators, where they feel like they're stuck between a rock and a hard place, instead of them taking the initiative to make sure that, you know, their students are safe.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's essential. That is essential.
Before we go, Chris and John, because one by one, of course.
John, you can start.
Okay.
What words of advice would you like to leave with us?
My words of advice are this. Become aware of how bullying is active in your life. And I'm speaking to you as an adult. Look how you bully. Do you control, become aware of how you may control others, may how you try to manipulate others so you can feel good about yourself and so you can feel safe. Look for bullying in your life. Look at the ways that you allow yourself to be bullied by other people. Once you have that awareness and you identify what your fears are, then there's no looking back. And this way you can begin to create small successes in your life. And, you know, one of the things we talk about is, you know, choose to be around positive people or mentor with someone who believes in you, you know,
now,
the coach.
Right. And what I would like to add, too, if you are being bullied a lot of times, and we mentioned this before, if you're being bullied, it's because there's a perception that there's something different about you. You may be quiet. You may be shy. Maybe too tall, too short. Maybe you're not good in school, or you're the star student, and that's why you're getting bullied. Possibly you're not being athletic, or you're not athletic, or whatever the case might be. So if you are being bullied, it's so important to embrace your uniqueness and celebrate your uniqueness, because each of us on this planet are our own person. We're our own unique individual, and we were put here that way. We were put here to be totally unique. So again, you know, celebrate your uniqueness, celebrate what's different about you, and embrace that.
Thank you, both. I want to just say the title of your book again, which is Living an Inspired and Empowered and Joy-Filled Life. And where can people find the book? Where can people get in contact with you as far as your services and or speaking engagements coming up or anything like that?
Okay. Well, John and I are available for one-on-one coaching. Our direct line is 215-794-0135. Information about us is at possibilitycoaches.com, And our book is at 365, that's the number, 365dailytips.com.
Thank you both so much, and it was such a pleasure having you on the show, and I'm looking forward to more information and looking up more information through your website and getting your book. Again, thank you for all that you're doing to make a difference.
And thank you, Yvonne,
for
inviting us on.
To share.
Allowing us to share, and thank you for all the great work that you're doing.
Thank you. Join us Tuesday, April 16th, for part 6 of the Enough series, Preventing the Victim's Mentality with Annette Du Bois. Thank you.
I was meant to fly.
Oh, no matter who pushes me, I know I'm not gonna let you. I'm not gonna let you get me down. No, no, no.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. It has been an absolute pleasure, and I thank you for choosing this time to spend with me, your host, Yvonne Pierre. For more information about the show, how to be a guest, or to simply let me know what you think about today's show or previous shows, visit me at ypierre.com. That's www.ypierre.com. Remember to keep God first, know that you are blessed, and always stay true to yourself. I love you, God loves you, and thank you for listening.
I won't.